Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Constantly making trips to Home Depot? Introducing Drop, the app that rewards you for every shopping trip. Earn free gift cards for shopping. Download the Drop app now and use code DROP33 to get $5 in points.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Christian Sager, and this is the second part of our Cannabis Files episode. We're taking a deep look at the science behind marijuana, and in particular in this episode, we're going to focus on its medical applications. And the thing about medical applications with marijuana that's interesting is we've known about them for a very long time. This isn't something new, right? Like, you've only heard the term medical marijuana in maybe, what, like the last 20 or 30 years here in the United States? But this goes back thousands of years.
Yeah, I feel like it's easy to hear about medical marijuana, or certainly to have heard about it earlier on and think to yourselves, oh, this is just marijuana users trying to legitimize their recreational use by saying, oh, it's actually good for you. But really, our relationship with medicinal marijuana goes back a long time.
Yeah, so we're going to give you a little bit more than Doug Benson's Super Jaime documentary here. This is going to be, you know, a real deep look at the earliest known medical uses of medical marijuana, and then the actual beneficial properties of cannabis and the ways that we're researching it right now, because we're, you know, as far back as it goes, we haven't really nailed it down, right? At least like in the empirical sense.
Yeah. So there are a lot of open questions here. As we mentioned in our last episode, you could easily do an entire podcast series, just looking at all the different research, examples out there into all the different applications. And all we are trying to do is give a nice overview, with some detailed discussion, where it makes sense. As always, if there's an area that you want more clarification on, you have a couple of different options. Yep. You can check out that, medical marijuana article works over at HowStuffWorks.com. You can also let us know, hey, why don't you do a different, like an entire episode just on this one little area? And
sure,
we can consider doing.
Yeah, yeah. It would be great if you let us know what a particular, you know, subsect of this information that you'd like us to go a little further down. I mean, when we're doing the research for something like this, we really have to keep the net wide.
Right. Now, in our last episode, when we were talking about just humanity's long history with marijuana and how cannabis originated in perhaps India or Central Asia, and it's just sort of spread out from there over thousands of years, we mentioned that the earliest written account goes back to what, 2700 BCE?
Yeah, something, or 28 maybe, but yeah, it's like, well, very long time.
And so you might have been wondering then, like, what's the details on this? Who wrote what? Well, I am here to tell you the writer in this case is the mythical Emperor Shinong, the divine farmer and founder of Chinese herbal medicine, really the founder of Chinese medicine in general. And he allegedly, and I say allegedly because he's a very much a mythological figure, it becomes just sort of lost to history to right. what extent this is real person, what is myth.
Yeah, yeah, was he a combination of people or something like that?
Exactly,
right?
Because, yeah, he's a divine figure in Chinese history and mythology.
Although, like, maybe thousands of years from now, people will say that about Alexander Shulgin. They're like, surely this person couldn't have existed.
Shulgin the Great,
yeah,
the divine architect of MDMA. But according to, so basically, Shinong wrote the Shinong Binkao Jing, or the Great Herbal. He wrote this around 2700 BCE. And according to myth, Shinong either tasted hundreds of herbs or thrashed them with a magic whip in order to learn their properties.
I'm going
to
go with the tasting, although that would be like let's say you're in a D&D campaign and you find an item and they're like, it's a magic whip, and you cast your identify spell and they're like, it can tell you the properties of marijuana.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a useful item to have in a role-playing campaign. Yeah. Is that poison? I don't know. Let me thrash my whip.
There you go. It's the detect poison whip.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this also drives home just sort of the mythical nature of Shinong.
Yeah,
real person.
Totally.
Divine figure, some, you know, convergence of the two. He's really both. Now, according to one of the legends that involved him actually sampling the herbs, he once consumed 70 poisons in a single day in order to bring herbal medicine into the world.
So, wow. Okay.
So that sounds on one level a little more relatable, but then on the other, 70 poisons in a day would surely be enough to kill a normal mortal. So
yeah, well, that whip, he was able to tell exactly how much he could take.
Yeah. So the book in question says that if taken in excess, cannabis, quote, will produce hallucinations. If taken over a long term, it makes one communicate with spirits and lightens one's body.
Okay.
And I think that based on the different psychological and physical effects that can occur with marijuana use, that sounds like Shinong hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah, I never had any of the communicating with spirits applications or symptoms, but that sounds like it would have been, that sounds like it, if there was like a cultural sort of surrounding that, like, communicating with spirits was a regular thing, right? That,
right.
That you would, of course,
yeah,
kind of go
if
to
there
that.
Was already a script for it, because based on the research I was looking at, like, there's no real sign of actual hallucination occurring in and of itself, unrelated to other symptoms, underlying symptoms or psychological conditions or other substances with cannabis.
Yeah.
Now, might you close your eyes and see cartoon characters? Very possibly.
Depends on how strong your imagination is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there are a number of factors involved here. So in Chinese traditional medicine, it's known as ma. And I want to clarify, I want to remind everyone here that my Mandarin is horrible. So ma can, depending on how you pronounce that, M-A, in English, you can mean horse, you can mean marijuana, you can mean mother, but this is the form that refers to cannabis. And it was used to treat absences of yin, such as female weakness or menstruation, gout, rheumatism, malaria, beriberi, constipation, and absent-mindedness.
That last one's interesting.
Yeah, especially given what we've talked about.
Are you absently minded?
Yeah.
Here, have some
cannabis.
Have some of this. Yeah.
That'll help.
Huh.
Also, you see in traditional Indian medicine, you see marijuana used for its sedative, relaxing, anti-anxiety, anti-convulsant actions, as well as for analgesia, appetite stimulation, and also to prevent and reduce fever, as well as antibacterial effects as well. So, again, as we've been saying, it has been used for a very long time for medicinal purposes.
Well, yeah, well, like we've been saying, you know, we've known about it for such a long time, but here in the U.S., we only have one federal farm. It's at the University of Mississippi. I don't know why there, but that's where a lot of the testing is done. And this particular, you know, clinic, I guess, has received millions of dollars in grant funding to track adolescents over 10 years and to see what the effects of pot, alcohol, and other drugs are on them. But that's really like, you know, like I mentioned in the last episode, like there are other researchers like that guy, who is like collecting the DNA. But like I said, like he can't collect the marijuana and bring it back. He has to get the DNA on site and then bring the DNA with him back to his lab because transporting it would be illegal, except for at this one place at the University of Mississippi. And those properties that Robert just, you know, had mentioned earlier, those are the medically beneficial properties that we're looking at today too, right? It's like this thing that we knew and somehow forgot and are now rediscovering.
That's what we're waving the scientific magical whip at.
Right.
In order to learn the properties.
And, you know, they're largely, the therapeutic benefits are largely attributed to what are called plant-derived terpophenolic compounds called phytocannabinoids. And the human body, like we talked about last episode, uses the endocannabinoids to modulate physiological processing like our appetite, pain sensation, mood, memory, inflammation, insulin sensitivity, and fat and energy metabolism, right? So there's a lot going on there. It's a very complicated system within our brains. So, you know, how can we use cannabis in order to sort of manipulate, speed up, or slow down, or expand those processes for our own benefit when we're sick, essentially? One way has been to develop synthetic cannabinoids. And by developing those, that helps us understand the biology of what's going on here, especially when it comes to pain management, inflammation, cancer, and neurodegenerative diseases.
Yeah, and ultimately the creation of synthetic cannabinoid medications, medications that are based on cannabis, but they're like, that's a whole, then you get additional problems that come in, right? There are concerns sometimes about the effectiveness of it, as well as the costs involved. Because, you know, not to play too much into the whole sort of natural cannabis versus big pharma thing, but yeah, on this, it's hard to ignore the fact that on the surface of it, you have a plant that grows in the ground versus a pill that is manufactured and patented and sold.
Yeah, and it's important that we distinguish that there are two different ways of medical application here, right? So there's the quote-unquote medical marijuana, and that's just actually the plant material or an extract from it that's derived from different strains that are reported to have medicinal properties. And you have to have a prescription from a state-licensed physician for this. And keep in mind, this is the important thing. This is the distinction that a lot of doctors make. There's no human clinical testing on medical marijuana, right? So you're just kind of trusting the dispensary that you're getting the particular strain that's going to address whatever issue you have.
Yeah, it is a Schedule I narcotic here in the States. So, like, cocaine is more legal than marijuana, for anyone not familiar with that, because cocaine technically has medical benefits that marijuana does not.
The second way, though, is what we were talking about with the synthetic thing. That's the biopharmaceutical companies where they develop a cannabis-derived drug using conventional U.S. FDA regulatory pathways. So an example of this would be there's a company called GW Pharma in the U.K., and they've developed a product called Sativex, and that's for cancer-related pain and for multiple sclerosis spasticity. But this drug costs reportedly around $16,000 per patient to use. So, you know, those are the pros and cons there, right? The physicians approve that because it's been run through human trials, but it's super expensive, whereas the medical marijuana hasn't been run through trials, but it's relatively, I mean, I don't know how, I wouldn't say that it's inexpensive, but right, like it's not $16,000 per instance.
Right.
So, okay, regardless of if it's synthetic or medical marijuana, here's how we think it's working. Remember what we talked about in the last episode about the endocannabinoid system and the brain processes. It's thought that the cannabinoids that are in cannabis interact with two protein receptors through our body, the CB1 and the CB2. Now, the CB1 receptors, these are most prevalent neurotransmitters that are in our brains and nervous systems. They're found in our basal ganglia, in our hippocampus, in the cerebellum. We think they're involved in affecting our appetite, mood, motor function, and neurocognition. The CB2 receptors are almost exclusively in our immune system. Now that's really interesting, right? You don't think about that when you, when you think about like smoking pot, like as a, like being beneficial or even adverse to your immune system. All that stuff we talked about in the last episode. But yeah, so that's where the CB2 ones are. They mainly appear in tissue where there is cellular pathology. And these seem to be responsible for anti-inflammatory and analgesic effects.
Okay. And so in some of that, we're getting into pain management. We're also even getting into potential cancer fighting properties as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been using these in clinical settings for a while now. We use them for pain, for cancer, for multiple sclerosis, like we talked about. The problem here is very similar to the problem that we talked about with MDMA in those previous episodes, the psychoactive properties that go along with the THC, right? So it's got a concentration that's based on whatever, the plant variety, the preparation. So pure THC can be derived naturally or produced synthetically, like we talked about. Now, on its own, THC also has anti-inflammatory and anti-emetic properties, but its development is hindered by its psychotropic effects, right? You can't have one without the other.
Right. And so you're talking about potentially high doses to treat something, but then the person may just sit there staring at the wall thinking about death or something.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it might
be just the psychotropic properties would just be too high.
Right. And in some cases, THC drugs have received FDA approval, for instance, like as appetite stimulants for chemotherapy patients or to reduce nausea and vomiting. But yeah, you've got that side effect there. And you know, some people don't want that. The other problem is, like I mentioned, previously, THC, tolerance develops in people after a certain chronic usage. So, it limits the clinical applications of it being used as a medicine for those things I mentioned, like cancer and MS, because after a while it stops working.
Yeah.
Now THCV is one of the particular kinds of cannabinoids that's an abundant non-psychoactive phytocannabinoid that's in cannabis. And the studies show that this particular, chemical has anti-convulsive effects in animals. So it's thought that it can be used for epilepsy.
And then we have CBD, which is a non-psychotropic cannabinoid in cannabis, and it can be anti-epileptic, anti-inflammatory, anti-emetic, muscle-relaxing, neuroprotective, and antipsychotic. It's been evaluated for treating epilepsy and schizophrenia, and CBDV is an homolog of CBD and is being developed to treat epilepsy as well.
Yeah, and CBD has also shown promise in limiting neurological damage in Alzheimer's and Parkinson's patients, as well as people who just have suffered strokes or particular kinds of head trauma. One of the things that's really interesting about this to me is, as we discussed last episode, an adverse effect is if you're genetically predisposed to schizophrenia, chronic marijuana use has been shown to make it more likely that you will develop schizophrenia.
Right, to sort of kick things off, serve as a, you know, precursor.
Yeah, but at the same time, here's a chemical within cannabis that could be potentially used to treat schizophrenia. So it's all about really just kind of understanding how these things interreact with one another.
Yeah, and determining like what is the appropriate dosage per individual,
yeah,
per condition. It kind of comes back to the memory thing, the idea that it could be used both, you know, it could be used inappropriately and make you focus too much on a negative memory, or it could potentially be used to treat post-traumatic stress disorders in which you have to sort of de-associate the negative memories surrounding, you know, particular triggers.
Yeah, they're calling it memory extinction.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's powerful stuff, but right, like, it's two sides of the same coin. Right?
Memory extinction, also a good name for a brand of, for a strain of recreational, marijuana.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's
probably
already out there somewhere
is, yeah,
in Seattle.
Many of them.
And then there's also CBG, which is also reported to relieve intraocular pressure and has anti-inflammatory properties. So there's a lot of this where it's the anti-inflammatory thing. It's like, it sounds like, you know, instead of taking an ibuprofen or something like that, maybe this would work. But, yeah, you know, the ibuprofen has its own adverse effects. There's a give and take. You know, you got to sort of be aware of, like, what each thing is doing to you.
Exactly.
And that CBG one is being evaluated for multiple sclerosis and inflammatory bowel disease.
Tired of boring lunches? Picture this. You're at Chipotle ordering the same old burrito bowl. But wait, there's more excitement in store than just guac. Introducing Drop, the ultimate rewards app. Just link your card, dine at your favorite restaurants, and you'll earn points to get free gift cards from tons of brands. It's like getting paid to eat. Hungry for savings? Download the Drop app now and use code DROP44 to kickstart your rewards journey with $5 in points.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
Now, in clinical usage, cannabis is largely being used to help chronic non-cancer pain and neurological diseases like MS and epilepsy. But it is also being used in oncology because it's helpful with chemotherapy, like I mentioned earlier, with the nausea and the vomiting side effects as that, as well as it's a painkiller.
Yeah, and also individuals with chemotherapy, undergoing chemotherapy for a number of reasons, they're suffering from decreased appetite in many situations, and this can be a way to stimulate the appetite,
yeah,
and get the individual motivated to eat the food they need to eat.
Right, like whereas we joke about like the munchies or something like that, and like, oh, whatever, like whatever silly joke about like when I have 12 pizzas or something like that after you smoke weed, like that's something that can really help people who are having a hard time keeping their food down.
Yeah, I mean, I always go back to, what was it? It was called It Came From Hollywood. It was a fabulous film that came out when I was a kid. That had these various comedians like Gilda Radner, Dan Aykroyd,
really?
John Candy,
okay,
but also Cheech and Chong,
oh, yeah,
doing these,
yeah,
bits about old sci-fi and horror movies.
Uh-huh.
You know? And so there was a segment where Cheech and Chong are going into the movie theater, and I couldn't begin to understand any of these references at the time, but Cheech just gets a normal popcorn, but Chong, he smoked up before he went in.
Sure, yeah.
So he has the munchies and he ends up coming into the theater with a garbage can full of popcorn because he kept saying, is there a bigger size? Is there a bigger size?
Uh-huh.
And eventually just give him a trash can full of popcorn. And that's like our comic version of the munchies.
Yeah.
But this is a very real effect of cannabis consumption.
Totally.
And one that we can utilize to help patients who need their appetite encouraged.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something that we often forget, is that there are some conditions that make it hard to eat.
So when we're talking about this effect, when we're talking about the munchies, for lack of a better word, it's all tying into cannabinoid receptor 1, CB1R. And researchers have long recognized that this is the receptor that can contribute to overeating. And there's actually a recent study came out in the past year from the Yale School of Medicine, and it shed a lot of light on the particulars of what's going on. So by manipulating the cellular pathway that mediates marijuana's actions in the brains of transgenic mice, they observed the key role played by a group of nerve cells called pro-opiomelanocortin, or POMC, neurons. Now, normally these are considered key drivers in reducing eating when we're full. So you smoke a normal tobacco cigarette, and the nicotine makes POMC neurons more active, curbing hunger.
Right, okay.
And yet the THC actually reduces hunger by activating these same POMC neurons. So that's right, the same mechanism that normally turns the hot donut sign off in your brain, THC turns it on. And that's a fact that actually surprised the Yale researchers. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done to validate these findings and figure out exactly what they mean. But scientists hope that increased understanding of THC's effect on appetite will enable the development of better appetite manipulators, both for weight loss as well as encouraging appetite in individuals undergoing chemotherapy treatment.
And so connecting back to oncology and its uses there, there's growing evidence that cannabinoids on their own have anti-tumor and cancer-fighting effects. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is it's thought that they suppress proliferative cell signaling pathways. They also inhibit blood vessel formation and encourage apoptosis, which is programmed cell death. And you may remember us talking about that in the MDMA episode, because MDMA does the same thing. So the idea there is basically that it would encourage killing these malignant cells in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And partly this is because, now remember that endocannabinoid system in our brains, it plays a role in the life and death of individual cells in our bodies. So that seems like a very promising avenue of research to go down.
Indeed. I mean, this is an area where it definitely reminds me of running across statements online in the past where individuals have said, marijuana cures cancer, and that is why it is outlawed, because the government and big pharma do not want you to have the cure for cancer, because they want to sell you the treatment for cancer. That, of course, is
a gross simplification.
Gross simplification that would make sense in maybe an alternate version of reality, but not in our real world plagued by wicked problems. But still, you see shades of that scenario in the reality of the situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, so to drill down a little further into the science of it, those CB1 and CB2 receptors we mentioned earlier, those are found in higher concentrations in tumor cells, mm-hmm. specifically the ones that are surrounding normal tissue in a whole variety of cancers. So cannabinoids may also inhibit tumor cell growth while sparing normal tissue. So this is something, you know, along with the MDMA research, that is well worth pursuing. And like I mentioned at the top, we've only got one place in the whole United States where we can do this kind of thing. But, you know, mid to late clinical trials are underway to see if it can be used therapeutically, both in oncology, but also with things like Huntington's disease, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, and, you know, as I mentioned, schizophrenia.
Is getting gas at Shell burning a hole in your wallet? What if I told you can easily earn cash back while you fill up? Introducing Drop, the app that turns every fill up into a reward. With Drop, you'll earn points to get free gift cards every time you fill up your tank. Download Drop and use code DROP88 to instantly receive $5 in points to jumpstart your savings journey. Don't miss out on turning your gas expenses into something rewarding.
Okay, picture this.
It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So some of these same properties that make cannabis a promising treatment for individuals undergoing chemotherapy, it also makes it a promising treatment for individuals who are undergoing treatment for HIV and AIDS, mm-hmm. Specifically when you're getting into things like appetite loss. We've discussed its effect on the immune system. And certainly the immune system is a vital area of consideration when we're looking at the treatment of HIV and AIDS.
Yeah, I think when we're talking about, the immune system thing we've only just now gotten into, and we're halfway through our second episode here, but just keep in mind, there's over 500 different chemicals in cannabis that can do a whole variety of things, and we're only now kind of just parsing it out.
Yeah, and then of course when you get into pain, which we've been talking about here, some types of pain, such as peripheral neuropathy, they respond better to marijuana than to conventional pain relievers. And it's also shown promise in treating chronic pain and muscle spasms. We've already touched a little bit on post-traumatic stress disorder in this episode and the previous ones. But, studies have shown that marijuana may be useful in the treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder. Specifically, there's a 2014 study published in the journal Neuropsychopharmacology. And they experimented on traumatized rats, which they did traumatize themselves with electrical shock.
It wasn't like they went out and found traumatized rats. They made traumatized rats.
Yeah. And they found that synthetic cannabinoids can prevent behavioral and physiological symptoms of PTSD by triggering changes in brain centers associated with the formation and holding of traumatic memories.
So that's that extinction.
Memory extinction, as we mentioned earlier. So, yeah, and this gets down to the general idea that PTSD involves these just strong, overly stress connections in your memory involving these traumatic events in the past. And so here we see the potential for marijuana, for cannabis to lessen those binds, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's definitely worth reiterating, especially if you didn't listen to the first episode of this podcast, that This doesn't mean that marijuana erases your memories,
right?
It's just that in conjunction with therapy, it can be used to help with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done here, specifically as it applies to human patients. But we do see some very promising results in this area. But of course, you could say the same for basically any medical application we've talked about here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, every area is still being explored. We're still finding out exactly how cannabis affects the mind, affects the body, and how it can be best utilized for treatment.
Yeah, we've got a lot of work to do, not just in the sense of like figuring out culturally where we stand on the legalization and medical usage of marijuana, whether that's medical marijuana or synthetic marijuana, but also just, I'd like to remind us again from that thing in the first episode, the people who are growing the marijuana don't 100% understand exactly what they're growing. And so that project to catalog all the different DNA, figure out the strains, it's going to be hugely helpful for us to sort of parse it all out and be like, okay, this does this particular thing. This one's good for appetite. This one's particularly good for pain management. This mm-hmm. one's good for anti-inflammatory, whatever the situation may be, along with the added benefit of tracing, you know, the basically the historical movements of these particular strains of marijuana, so we can see like the fascinating history of humans taking pot with them wherever they go.
I know it always brings me back to Michael Pollan's book and series, The Botany of Desire, where he looks at a few different substances, though, like marijuana, apples, potatoes, and it forces you to ask that question: like, is it humans who have manipulated and utilize marijuana, or is it the reverse? Have these strains of cannabis ultimately been manipulating and controlling humans by providing them with things that they need and want? Clothing and textiles, or recreational, psychotropic properties, or medicinal properties.
Yeah, or mind expanding insights for leaders, right?
Yeah.
I'm also thinking like, and this is maybe just like, you know, very basics of this kind of anthropological look at marijuana, but like, again, is it the marijuana that's driving us? Is it like, well, I can't grow this particular crop here, so I need to move south so that this mm-hmm. will grow so I can use it for all these varieties of effects? Is that why we've colonized particular areas over time? Who knows?
Yeah.
But maybe we'll find out. There's a lot, like I said, there's a lot of work to be done here. And I think that in order to get that work done, I'm speaking as an American and living in American culture. I'm sure it's very different, in other cultures, but we need to take a more mature approach to looking at this as, yes, there's issues surrounding our culture and our adolescence and drug use. All of those things are real. However, we need to approach this as, this is a plant. It is an organic biological thing. It has all these chemicals in it. Let's figure out how all those chemicals interact with all the chemicals in our heads, and then catalog those and use them accordingly.
Sounds good. But then, of course, we have so many different layers of human meaning that are applied to it, that marijuana is just a different thing to different people. To some people, it is still this demonic corrupter of youth.
Yeah, totally.
To others, it is the presence of God. It is the burning bush.
Yeah.
It just runs the gamut from like the ultimate good to the ultimate evil. And none of that is very helpful, to approaching it, from a purely scientific, standpoint.
God, yeah, I guess like the pessimistic way to look at it is like, we'll never get there. We've got this thing right in front of us that holds, you know, the key to solving a lot of very painful problems in mm-hmm. human existence. And maybe we won't ever figure them out because we can't get over ourselves and how we approach our relationship with a plant.
All right. Well, there you have it. We hope you've enjoyed these two episodes on cannabis. As we mentioned, if there's an area in these discussions that you would like more information on, Certainly check out the How Stuff Works articles on marijuana and medical marijuana. They're two separate ones. We'll have links to those on the landing page for this episode at stufftoblowyourmind.com. But also feel free to reach out to us. Like if you reach out to us and say, hey, I really want to know more about the post-traumatic stress, let us know. If enough people are interested, like, we could do a whole episode on that, and maybe
we will.
So,
yeah.
Just give us some feedback, and that'll help decide our direction.
And the best ways to get in touch with us for that, well, hey, we are all over social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Tumblr, we're on Instagram. Pretty much all those, it's Blow the Mind, I think. We try to respond to messages, direct ats, however you want to contact us through those communication systems. And then there's StuffToBlowYourMind.com, which is our mothership that contains all kinds of further information, videos, articles, other podcasts about similar topics to this one, right? And you can go there, find that stuff, dive in a little deeper. If you didn't find what you're looking for, like Robert said, and you want to reach out to us directly, you're not all that comfortable with the rest of the world seeing your needs and information regarding marijuana, how can they get in touch with us, Robert?
Oh, well, you can simply email us at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Tired of routine Walgreens trips? Get rewarded for shopping with Drop. With Drop, you can earn free gift cards on groceries, gas, and more. Download Drop now and use code DROP55 to get $5 in points. Join Drop today.
What are you looking for in a new smart TV? 4K picture quality? High quality and immersive sound? A sleek design? All of those are givens, but only the new Roku Pro Series has all of those and the Roku streaming experience and award-winning OS. Get fast, easy access to all your apps like iHeart, where you can stream all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all day. And regular all-inclusive trips to Roku City. The new Roku Pro Series, a smart TV built by the streaming pros.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.